Right, we're not going to actually be more friendly. We're just going to be more friendly to your car. I eat it in the car. I get it on a steering wheel. Baby, check this out.
Welcome to Countless Screaming Argonauts. I am T. Fab P., the Fabulous Penguin.
And I'm Max, the Fabulous Max.
Fabulous Max. And we are here on Countless Screaming Argonauts, the podcast version 2.0. We have taken the first 100 episodes and decided that we're going to rebrand a little bit based on suggestions that College Boy made. He's jumping up and down and real happy that we decided to follow through on some of the things that he suggested.
We're quicker, faster, shorter, and more wonderful than ever.
More drive time friendly.
There you go.
That was a complaint that we actually got. So you put those things together and we've decided that we're going to take a little bit of a different approach so that we can please our audience even better.
Right. We're not going to actually be more friendly. We're just going to be more friendly to your car.
Right. Absolutely. We don't really care about it. No.
Well, no, no. We love our listeners.
Absolutely.
All 43,000 of them or however many there are.
However many we have. Right. So our plan basically is that we're going to each pitch ideas to the other person, stories, internet things, experiences that we've had, and without the other person knowing that they're coming.
Right.
So that we can get a little bit more of a spontaneous response. How's that?
Spontaneous.
Right. Spontaneous. Tetanus.
That's right. It's tetanus, you idiot. It's still one of the funniest things I've ever heard in my life.
I know. All right. So listen, Max, I will give you the honor of tossing out the first story for today.
The first story for today is this idea that Google is planning on scanning all of the books, at least, shall we say, in English, and selling the digital versions on the internet.
Okay. So you're talking about, like, somebody with a Kindle or somebody with a...
Not a Kindle. Kindles are...
All right.
Kindles are...
Right. Proprietary.
Produced by Amazon.com. There is a lawsuit. Google's made an agreement, I should have spelled this out a little better, with the, I keep wanting to call them the Recording Industry of America, the Publishers Association, or a group that would be able to speak for publishers in this country, for $125 million for the rights to scan and sell online any of these books that they've scanned.
Now, do you know... how many books we're talking about?
No, I don't have.
Okay, because I know that the Library of Congress has about 2 million books.
Right. One of the groups that was mentioned in this is the New York Public Library that is going to allow them. There's another big library. It's not the Library of Congress. It's the Library of Indiana or something. I don't know. And the New York Public Library. So not as much as the Library of Congress, but a lot.
All right. So we're basically, I mean, you know, if you're talking about 125 million books, you're talking about a dollar a book.
Right.
If you're talking about 250 million books, you're talking about 50 cents a book.
That's right.
And I think that's a great idea. I think that the ability to have a digital version of a book is wonderful.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have a reader for it, and I'm assuming that, you know, that the deal would include Google developing a reader.
No, I'm not sure that that's part of the deal. Obviously, Amazon has their own proprietary reader. I'm not sure this is anything, but they're making PDAs.
Oh, okay. So they would... You would get a printed copy of the book, basically.
Well, you could get a digital book, a digital copy of the book that you could print out. It would have a Google watermark. So if you wanted to print out or read on your computer, Old Yeller, it would say, you know, it would show Google on it.
Right. Well, as long as they're not charging like $25 for Old Yeller, I kind of like it. I like that idea. I'm from the Ted Stevens school of the
you
interviews.
Just load up those two.
You know, I just load up the dump truck and just back it right up and dump it onto the tubes.
Well, yes. Generally, I'm a big advocate for the dispersal of knowledge. I think the smarter people are, the better off people are. But what I feel about this is two things. One, I think it's too cheap by an order of magnitude. And the other is it's anti-competitive. let Google scan them, and then let Microsoft scan them, and then let Amazon.com scan them, and we'll have some competitive pricing. Then you can buy your digital old Yeller for 33 cents instead of a dollar. Right. I just don't like Google controlling the digital version of all the books in English.
So you're sort of talking about this anti monopoly that Google's going to have a monopoly on this material, and
right,
doesn't Amazon have a deal with its Kindle? I mean, they must have some books that they've
there's
already
no digital version of except the ones that are on the Kindle. Yes, the only way you can get them on the Kindle reader is by buying them through Amazon.com. And if you're lucky, Amazon.com
and buying
won't
the Kindle
reach back into your Kindle and pull them back
and like steal your book.
1984. Yeah.
Was it 1984? Yeah. That was pretty funny. Talk about your irony, huh?
There was no poetic justice in that.
No, I mean, for all the possibilities. I mean, could you think of a better book for them to screw up on?
It was out and out creepy. Well, just trust us. We'll come and take it back. We didn't have the right to give this to you. So we're going to reach into your house and take
it. Come in and take it. All right, let's move on to the next story. So I'm perusing the intertubes, and I ran across this interesting article about basically it was about the social networking sites Facebook and Twitter. And a couple of scientists have done a couple of different studies. Well, regarding two things, regarding crime and also regarding privacy and or some other issues that we've talked about.
We've talked about the show.
Right. So basically, in the first part of the study, what they did was they found out that nearly 40% of people who use either Facebook or Twitter have posted information concerning the fact that they were going on vacation. And 33% had posted information concerning the fact that they were going to be spending a weekend away. Now, we did a story three months ago about some guy out in Utah or Nevada or something.
He was going away.
Who was
10,000 of his closest friends.
Right. And when he came home, his house had been ransacked and $100,000 of video equipment had been stolen.
And they got specific high-tech video equipment, and they didn't take just like all the silver or all the crystal, which made people assume that it was someone that he knew.
And then the second part of the study was they did this survey where they found out they did a test. They took 100 friend invites and sent them to people on Facebook and sent them to people on Twitter. And on Facebook, 13% of the people did not check the invite at all. They just simply accepted the person as a friend. But on Twitter, 92% of them didn't check the invite and didn't did nothing to kind of validate it. So, obviously the question is, why is there such a big difference between those two
things? Well, and I think the answer is because Facebook is more personal. You can have somebody on Twitter, directly message you, but you're more anonymous on Twitter. A lot of people on Facebook put their face out there.
Right. Oh, sure. And you're right. Twitter is definitely more anonymous, so it does require less.
The word friend makes a difference. I guess it doesn't kind of add up mathematically.
That's an interesting concept. I bet it does. You know, if you got simply a thing that said Joe Schmo.
But on Facebook, they want to be your friend.
Right, that's one thing, but
but they chose more friends on Facebook, right? All right.
They chose less. Well,
does that mean that they want more friends?
I think what it means is that in Facebook, they checked more into who the person was who wanted to friend them, whereas in Twitter, they were just more likely to accept the fact that somebody wanted to follow them. I don't have a Facebook page, but I do have a Twitter, and I never check people.
You never allow it, or you always allow it?
I always allow it. I never check it.
What if somebody wanted to be
your friend? that's part of it.
Would you want to know who they were?
Well, but they could send me a message, I guess.
Every once in a while, so-and-so wants to be your friend on Facebook. And, my first thought always was, well, yeah, sure, I could use more friends. But then I went and looked up a couple of these people and found out that they had been banned from Facebook. And when I went to their Facebook page, it said, there's nothing here. Go home. Go on your way.
Right. Yeah. I've seen that too. Yeah. People who, they're fishing for information. Okay, Max. So what's next on your agenda?
I just learned an internet meme. And I learned it from your kids.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't know what it meant. And it's Nom Nom or Nom Noms.
Right.
You know what Nom Noms are?
I do. I do. I you know, it's one of those things that if you had quizzed me,
yeah,
I might not have hit it the first time, but I have heard of it before, and I certainly would have figured out what was going on with them. It has to do with food, right?
Right. For any of our listeners who don't know, Nom Noms is the onomatopoeia sound of someone eating. And my impression, my guess is that this word first appeared, although maybe not officially, in Cookie Monster in Sesame Street.
That would sort of make some sense because this is a Sesame Street generation, you know?
Right. And those puppets, I know they're Muppets. I mean, Cookie Monster was all about eating cookies. But he
right.
wouldn't, since it was actually a human's hand with no hole in the virtual throat.
Right. He would just kind of crunch them up and they'd fall
he
out.
He would just kind of mess them up. And they sold it by him going, nom, 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 nom.
Right.
So apparently now when kids are hungry and they're telling the world that they're hungry on Twitter, they say, I need some nom noms or something
right.
to that effect.
So you basically are thanking Millie Jupiter and College Boy for the educational tidbit.
I'm thanking them for the knowledge. Absolutely.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah. Well,
that's
you
cool.
know, you,
yeah, you learn something
learning.
New every day.
That's right. You never stop learning.
Right.
Some nom
well,
nom nom.
Speaking of food,
yeah,
that is what my next topic was about.
Okay.
So I'm going to jump into this one. This was an article that I read that was called 20 Food Products That We Could Have Done Without. And what I want to do is I just want to pitch them to you. I'm not going to pitch all of them, most of them, but not all of them. And just ask you whether you ever heard of it, if you've heard of it, if you've tried it, and what your thoughts about it were.
All right. Sounds like fun.
Right? So the first one was Crystal Clear Pepsi.
No. It doesn't sound good. It just sounds wrong.
Yeah. Well, this is one that I tried,
Crystal
and it left
Pepsi?
Me confused.
Crystal Clear
because
Pepsi
Pepsi
or the
is
next
supposed
one?
No, this one.
Okay.
Crystal Clear Pepsi. Because Pepsi is supposed to be brown.
Right.
And when you pour it in a glass with ice and it's brown, you drink it down, it's brown. It's supposed to be brown.
Right, right. I agree with
and
you.
It's not. It's clear. So, you know, I get confused. I'm expecting, you know, some kind of lemon lime type soda, and it's Pepsi. So I thought that was a real bad idea. It only lasted for about 2 years before it was pulled off the market. So
and justifiably so. I wonder if it's similar to white chocolate.
I don't think so.
Do you think white chocolate tastes like chocolate?
No, it doesn't, because it's not chocolate. It's not made with cocoa.
So yeah. Does,
so why do they call it chocolate? I don't know. Yeah. I have no idea.
What does?
It's an oxymoron. White chocolate. It's like jumbo shrimp.
It is. It's just wrong. It's morally wrong, as is Crystal Clear Pepsi.
Right. All right. Number two, the McRib sandwich.
I love the McRib sandwich. I love it. I eat it in the car. I get it on a steering wheel. I love it. It's boneless, but it looks like it has a bone, which is
right.
stupid. It's processed, God knows what pig part, with the tastiest.
Oh, I'm sure it's like pig lips and.
George Carlin.
You know, I'm
proud.
Sure it is.
Bug parts, rodent hair, and roach droppings. It's got to be awful, but I love it. I get the McRib every time. I get it on my face. The slurry, soupy sauce, the barbecue sauce on it is fantastic. I love the McRib. I wish they'd come out all the time.
I think The Simpsons did a send-up of the McRib sandwich.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Something to do with Krusty Burgers and a special kind of burger that Homer was addicted to. And the theme of the show was that, you know, it was only for a limited time, and when it went out,
right.
they would run around to the different stores trying to find, like, if somebody had one left kind of deal.
Yeah.
So I could see that would be you driving around in your little Honda.
That's me. I will drive to the next town to get a fake rib sandwich. And I don't eat barbecue ribs. Because
right.
I think it's too much work. It's like king crab legs. I love them both. Love the flavor.
Too much work, but not enough reward.
That's right. It's a CSA Scaly thing.
There you go. All right, next one on the list, Funky Fries from Ore-Ida. All right, at colored regular French fries. They had three colors: chocolate, cinnamon, and blue.
No.
Right. It ran for like a year, no. and then they killed it.
That's you know, I think it says in the Old Testament that French fries shall be blue and blue or shall not be blue, and the blue shall not be the color of the fries.
It's the same. It's like the crystal clear Pepsi. French fries are supposed to be blue. Are supposed to be brown. If they're blue, there's something
wrong.
Shun
you the fries that are the color of the skies. It's in the Bible.
I'm sure. All right, next one on the list: Lifesaver soda. All right, it was a 2-liter bottle of soda that was extremely sweet, multicolored cylindrical package that looked like the original rolls, and it had a toxic amount of sugar.
Yeah. You know, I went through the Cola Wars. They made me make up my mind. I like Coke. I can get to Diet Coke. I love Coke Zero, and Cherry Zero is the best of all. But if it doesn't say Coca-Cola on the side of it, I don't want it. No.
You're not drinking. All right. That's interesting. I was pretty much a soda snob,
yeah,
too. Until we got up here in Massachusetts. Because up here in Massachusetts is where Polar soda is made.
Is that right? Because you can get Polar down here.
Yes. Yeah, but it's made in Massachusetts. It's made in Worcester, as a matter of fact.
There's some other weird ancient soda up there that you can't get.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. And I'll remember it later, I'm sure.
It's some kind of birch beer.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And a lot of people... A lot of people like it, but it's an acquired taste. Most people who taste it hate it. Okay, next on the list, candy cigarettes.
Yes. We love candy cigarettes. I smoked them. I ate them when I was a little kid. I have great, fond memories of candy cigarettes. You put them in your mouth, you blow out the powdered sugar, and it looks like you're smoking. Kids think it's cool.
Right.
Or at least they did in 19...
Always controversial, but never banned. Is how they're described. And I guess the question is this the kind of thing that we should be giving our kids?
You know,
if you're a firm believer in, you know, like video games cause kids to murder people and fake guns make kids want real guns and stuff like that, then you gotta buy into the candy cigarettes. And you remember there was also the gum cigars.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, does that make kids smoke?
Well, that's a really complicated question. I have been an advocate of the idea that a certain percentage, and I'm sure that it's a very small percentage. I know a lot of really sane kids who play really horrible video games. So you can't just say blanketly that one thing causes the other. I do have my suspicions. I know for myself, I loved to play with the candy cigarette, but I tried real cigarettes. My brother also bought candy cigarettes, and he ended up starting to smoke. For me, real cigarettes hurt my lungs, so that, you know, that outweighed any coolness factor. I think that's a really, really complicated question, and I know, and all of my liberal friends say, no, you're full of crap. There's no influence. But my only question is, if there is an influence, well, is it on a really small percentage of the population, and should that drive policy?
Well, unfortunately, it probably does sometimes, but at least they never banned it, so it's still...
I'm not in favor of banning things. That may sound contradictory after people listen to this enough, because, you know, I want to be the breedmaster general and everything.
Sure. Well, that's specific stuff. Okay, so the next one on the list is circus peanuts. You know what they are, right?
I do know what circus peanuts are. They're
those
banana
big
flavored.
Orange banana flavored.
Right.
I always thought that was pretty bizarre myself.
Yeah, I think they're revolting.
Uh huh.
But outside of bananas and possibly banana bread, I don't like banana flavored things.
Right. I know somebody who, when I was kind of going over some of this stuff and I mentioned circus peanuts,
yeah,
They said that they used to either A, put him in the refrigerator.
Ooh.
So they would get hard.
Yeah.
That they were much better that way. Or B, they would leave the package open in the cupboard so they would get stale and hard because they were better that way. I don't know whether that's true or not, but that's what
I've always tried to avoid them. I don't know what it is I don't like about them. I just don't like them.
Yep. All right, next on the list, celery Jell-O. In the 1960s, the Jell-O Corporation introduced a series of vegetable gelatins that were supposed to go, you were supposed to mix salads into them. They had vegetables in them and stuff. Didn't do real well.
Yeah, no, that's just dumb.
I mean, Jell-O alone, I think, has a bad, somewhat of a bad name, although Bill Cosby helped.
Yeah.
Helped that a bit. But I mean, Jell-O in general, I don't think has a great name, so. To go celery Jell-O, I don't think so.
Yeah, Jell-O is thin and watery and generally sort of insubstantial.
Right. Jell-O shots with vodka in them are quite delicious, though.
You know, Jell-O shots, I think, probably saved Jell-O. Celery Jell-O is like having cloud-flavored tea.
Uh-huh.
You know, what's the point?
Right. All right, next one is Big Mix Cereal. This was Kellogg's idea. They kind of, you know, it was like a borgeschmorg of cereal. They took all their cereals that they made and they mixed them all together into one kind of cereal, which to me sounds pretty dumb because even, you know, just knowing the fact that some cereals melt more quickly in milk.
Yeah.
And stuff. I mean, you know, who wants soggy cornflakes with their crispy Chex or whatever?
Who wants Captain Crunch with their Product 19?
Right. Seems like a dumb idea.
Yeah, that's a dumb idea. There's pretty much everybody doesn't like some cereal.
Right.
You know, there's the kind that changes the color of your milk. There's the kind you eat because it's healthy. I mean, you know, Cocoa Puffs and shredded wheat.
Right.
Yeah.
Who, yeah. Oh, no, you're right. All right. We're in the home stretch here.
All right.
But now we're getting into a couple of bizarre ones.
All right.
Gerber Singles. The Gerber Corporation introduced a pureed single serving meal in a jar for adults.
You know, I don't know why I like this idea. I guess because I'm a bachelor. Yeah. give me a can of dinner. Sure.
You want a pureed hamburger and some French fries and a.
Yeah. You know.
Outside of their pudding for the kid, for the babies, I'm not going anywhere near that one.
I love baby food. Just give me a can of a jar of baby food. You know, I'd fill up my cupboard with baby food to go. The problem is I've got to eat 47 of them to get filled.
Right. That's always a problem. All right. Heinz came out with ketchup-flavored potato chips.
Which
I think the thought being that, you know, potato chips are similar to French fries. People eat French fries with ketchup. They would like ketchup-flavored fries, ketchup-flavored potato chips.
I think that's a good idea.
Do you?
I do, yeah. It makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah, most of the local markets refuse to carry it, they said.
Well, you know, we think that because we're Americans, the grocery stores are sort of something you could put on autopilot. But there are actually decisions made about what goes where and if something gets shelf space at all. Shelf space is incredibly valuable.
Right.
You know, so you're gonna go Pringles nacho cheese, you're gonna go Pringles barbecue, or you're gonna go Pringles ketchup.
Right.
You get right. One roll. I guess that's why it didn't work.
All right, what about Heinz colored ketchup?
Yeah.
Blue and green and stuff. Ketchup's supposed to be red, right?
No, that's bad. It's like giving me the blue French fries. No.
Right. And the last one was Easy cheese in a can. Snackmate.
Yeah, as much as I'll take my baby food to go, I want a knife and a cutting board.
To cut your cheese? You like cutting the cheese.
I like cutting the cheese. Yeah, you know, that's it. I want an apple and a cutting board and a knife and some really crispy, sharp cheddar.
All right. Well, listen, Max, we got about 5 minutes left for the Drive Time Super Special. So what do you got? You got a couple more for us?
I do. I want to talk about Mr. Splashy Pants.
Okay,
because it was an internet sensation, which some people say went awry. Greenpeace wanted to name and then follow a whale. And they put it out for the world to come up with some names for the whale so that they could embarrass the Japanese whaling fleet. And I don't remember the names, but it was like, you know, Echo and Deja and all these sort of warm and fuzzy hippie names that were suggested. One of them, I think, meant peace in Latin. I don't know what.
Right.
But somebody said, let's call him Mr. Splashy Pants. And it took off. It went wild through the internet. Different websites said, go to Greenpeace and vote for Mr. Splashy Pants. Greenpeace, who wanted the cool hippie name, said, no, 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 we got to take this down. And the people went nuts. And they put it back. They gave in 70% of the vote, Mr. Splashy Pants. You can now go on the Greenpeace website and play the Mr. Splashy Pants web page video game where you have to keep his underwear-looking pants from drying out. It's really stupid, but it says something about the power of the internet and I don't know, socializing.
Sure.
I don't know how to say it.
Absolutely. You know, it's one of those things, Max, and we've talked about this before. If you are dumb enough to put something out on the internet
where people get to vote,
you know,
on.
and ask for people's opinions or people to vote on it or whatever, you're going to get going to get. I mean, Stephen Colbert has made a career. I mean, he got stuff named on NASA.
Right. Like a satellite. He may have actually been involved in this too. Now that you mention it, but Mr. Splashy Pants had too much momentum.
The space station that's
Did
out
they
there.
Name it after him?
They're sending up what do you call those things that you walk on? A treadmill. For the astronauts to walk on for exercise and stuff.
Stephen Colbert treadmill.
It's got Stephen Colbert, right? Yeah. I mean, you know, if you put it out there,
if you're that dumb, you deserve to get what you get.
You're going to get that. Yeah. That's what you're going to get.
I love Mr. Splashy Pants.
I think it's a cool name. You know, it's different.
Think about the kids.
I don't see how the Japanese are going to be embarrassed by that when they kill it and serve it for cat food.
I think that's the great thing about it is this name is going to be hugely popular with kids. There's no way you can kill Mr. Splashy Pants. Do you want to be the one responsible for killing Mr. Splashy Pants?
Max, I hate to say this. But my impression is the Japanese would hook it by the tail and drag it on board their ship without even giving a second thought. You know, and it'll be cat food and candle wax by morning. You know, I mean their whole whaling thing is the way they get around the limits the way they get around the limits was to call it research. You know, so they're catching whales in the name of finding out just how tasty they can be.
they're researching the flavor of Mr. Splashy Pants. I'm telling you, they don't want to see the story on the CBS Evening News or on CNN or, God forbid, MSNBC. Japanese Navy kills Mr. Splashy Pants. He's got a cartoon
now. Mr. Splashy
now.
Pants.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to work, but kudos to Greenpeace
for
trying.
Kudos to Greenpeace in spite of themselves.
Right. Well, listen, that's our show
for
the evening.
Have a good day.
For people who are interested, they can write to us at csapodcast@gmail.com. They can go to our website. They can go to the website, csapodcast.blogspot.com, to get more episodes. And they can follow us on Twitter, CSA Podcast, the twit.
You can tweet our podcast.
Yep. All right. Listen, you hang in there, and we shall talk again soon.
Which stood on rocky shores and kept the beaches shipwreck-free. Though I respect that a lot, I'd be fired if that were my job. After killing Jason off and countless screaming Argonauts, the bird of freedom.